You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
So glad you're here with us today. My name's Rob, one of the pastors on staff, and I get the joy of bringing you the first message in our new series on heaven and hell. Okay, what a great title, right? But before you start making assumptions of what's going on, I do want to also let you know we live stream this gathering, so there's people joining us online. Pardon me. So if you're here in person, can you help me welcome those who are joining us online? Okay, now you can start making assumptions about what the series is all about. Now, the reason we're doing a series on heaven and hell, and you see the subtitle there, I love it, a series of biblical talks on eternity. And I know a lot of people have questions about heaven and hell, and in the lead up or the prelude up to Easter, which is only 3 weeks away, we want to talk about heaven and hell because how many of you know that Easter is the time when Jesus came and did the work that guarantees those who believe in him get to go to heaven. And so we want to go in the build up to Easter as we look of coming towards celebrating that event. We want to remember exactly what it is that that event symbolizes Jesus did for us. Okay, so you saw in the video announcements the Easter Bunny, right? Let me give you a little spoiler alert. On Easter Sunday, we don't talk about the Easter Bunny. We just use that to help people think about Easter, right? Because it's a cultural symbol. But what we really want to hope for our church is that we understand the true depth of what Jesus did when we celebrate Easter. And so we're going to look at the series on heaven and hell. And here's something that I should say, as a team, we recognize. A lot of people don't like to talk about death. We don't like to have to think about it. And I should clarify that a lot of people in our culture, we don't always like to talk about it. I spent 20 years in missions overseas, and I went to lots of different cultures and lots of different places where people had different religions, different financial levels, different ways of viewing life. And can I tell you that in a lot of those places, they live right on the edge of death all the time. But I feel like sometimes in our culture, in our Western culture, if I can say this, in our wealthy culture, we have tried to take as many steps back from death as possible. Because maybe we don't understand it. Maybe it's an unknown. How many of you, show of hands, how many of you in here have experienced death? So I'm going to ask your story later. Right? If we're here today, we haven't experienced it, so we don't know what it is. And as humans, sometimes when we have a fear of the unknown, we can do three things. One, we can ignore it, pretend like it's never going to happen. Well, we're going to look at surveys later that prove it's going to happen to all of us, right? We know that. What's guaranteed in life? Death and taxes, right? So we know it's going to happen. The next thing we can do is we can try and kind of just shove it aside or make it comfortable, make it bearable, make it go, okay, well, if I just think about it in this way, that makes me happy, so that must be good. Or we can take the fear of the unknown and say, I want to actually know the truth about it as much as is possible so that I can live according to that truth or be ready for it. And so this series is talking about heaven and hell, talking about what happens to people, believers and non-believers, after we die. And you know, it's interesting. I have my parents here visiting for a month, and they're old, okay? And I hear it happens to all of us, but it's definitely happened to them. And how many of you know it's kind of surprising when your parents get old, right? In my mind, I still picture my dad at what my age is now. Maybe that's because I still picture myself as like a 25-year-old sometimes. I don't know. But when they came over, in preparation for them coming over, my wife and I were talking about, hey, this is the time we need to have some talks with them about what's going to happen as they continue to age, as they get closer. What might happen if one of them dies? And can I tell you, it's not a comfortable discussion. Because there's a part of us that doesn't want to have to think about it. We don't want to have to face it. We all know it's coming, right? But it was difficult. It's difficult for my wife and I to go, well, how do we even bring that subject up? And I said, well, that's easy. I want to make sure they're not wasting my inheritance, right? Just make this about us. It's no problem. And honestly, I was having a talk with my mom the other day, and she said, you know, it's hard for us to think about because fortunately, and this is a praise God, they're still physically and mentally healthy. And so they don't have to start thinking about it. And I said, but that's not the right way to approach it. Again, that's that mentality that says, if I can just keep myself as far away from the reality of this, I don't have to think about it. But as believers in particular, we should know and understand the promises God has for his creation. You know, when you were created, when you were conceived, and when you were born, you became an eternal being. In other words, it's not just this life that we have. It is all of eternity now. And that's what, when we talk about heaven and hell, it's not just this transition time from this earth to the next life. But see, I think sometimes we can forget that there is a next life because this life's pretty good. God's made it pretty good, or it's really hard, but either way, sometimes it can distract us to just thinking about today. So this series leading up to Easter is to help us understand what happens, understand the truths and the promises that God has given us as people so that we know how to live it out. And we're starting today by looking at what happens after we die, what the Bible says happens after we die. Now, let me start by saying there's some questions the Bible doesn't answer, okay? We have all of these images, some of them based loosely, I'll say, on things we read in Scripture. Heaven is made of gold, streets are paved with gold. I've always said, good, I'm going to bring a brick up to heaven because it's going to be valuable because no one else will have one. Right? Everyone's going to be like, wow, look how dull that thing is. Look how it doesn't shine, right? I don't know what the streets are going to look like. I don't know. Jesus talks about he's going to go home and prepare a place and a house for you. I don't know what that house is going to look like. I don't know what we're going to look like. But the Bible does make some things clear about heaven. And so that's, or about what happens after death. And that's what we're going to start the series with today. Next week, we're going to look at hell. And the third week, we're going to wrap up looking at heaven. So we're jumping in today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read a few verses here. This is Paul. This is one of the main passages where Paul's talking about what happens after this life and the next life. So he says this, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down," that is when we die and leave this earthly body. How many of you glad that this is just a tent? Okay, this is just a temporary tent. We don't live in a tent forever, right? We're going to take these down. It goes on, it says they're going to be replaced because we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. So this body here, this is a tent. And some of your tents, you might feel like, well, the zippers are broken, a little bit worn. Some of you, you've got a bit more on top of your tent than others. Some of you, your tent has been broadening, making room for I'm not sure what. But this is a tent. It's a temporary body. But we're going to go to heaven and be given a house built by God himself. And when God builds the house, no storm can overcome it. No other person can say what it's supposed to look like. God himself will build that house. So we're going to replace this tent with a heavenly house. It goes on, says, we grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. In other words, these bodies are growing weary. And I had this thought when I was looking at these verses. I was like, I'm going to draw a line at about 40, okay, between 40 and 45. And if you are on the younger side of that, you might not yet know the truth of what Paul is saying here. But if you're on the older side of that, you know, yes, these tents are wearing out unexpectedly, and you're not even sure what happened. But these bodies are wearing out, but they're going to be replaced with our heavenly bodies. And it says here, we long to put on our heavenly bodies. Some of you think you've already been given your heavenly body. You haven't been, okay? Husbands, here's a little marriage tip. Sometime later today, look at your wife and say, I'm so glad God already gave you your heavenly body, okay? Trust me, it'll work. But Paul says we're to long for our heavenly bodies. And this is the first thought that I have about what happens after death. We're actually supposed to long for it. We're supposed to look forward to it. Not that we want to hasten it. Not that we want to go out and do something dumb to see if God will keep us alive or bring us home sooner. How many of you have seen those videos or those memes that talk about dumb ways to die and they see people doing really dumb things? Okay, we're not supposed to live like that, but we are supposed to live with a longing for eternity. We're supposed to live with a view that says, I can't wait till I get to be in that heavenly home with that heavenly body that God has prepared for me. And so we long for it. It goes on, and Paul continues. He says, for we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. I don't know if we're going to be like those little, you know, those little naked cherubs with the bow and arrow that everybody thinks angels look like. I don't know if that's what our body looks like or not, but we're going to have bodies. We're not just going to be floating around like Casper the Ghost and spirits. It says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. And I love that phrase, that these bodies will be swallowed up by life. In fact, I want to change your mindset, maybe, that if you hear a series titled Heaven and Hell, you think this is a series about dying. I want to say, no, this is a series about living. Because we're meant to be swallowed up by life. And we know that when we become Christians, God begins to bring heaven. God begins to bring that life into our earthly life. But we don't have the fullness of it yet. But there's coming a day when we will die from this earthly body and we will be swallowed up by life. I don't know about you, but that's something that I go, I long for that. I look forward to that. I get excited about that. It goes on, he says in verse 6, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 still. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. It says, yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to have as many friends as possible on Facebook. No, it doesn't say that. What it really says is our goal is to have as much money as possible. No, it doesn't say that. What it really says is our goal is to have as many achievements and titles and positions as possible. No. In fact, whatever your fill in the blank is for what it means to live in these bodies here on earth or afterwards in eternity, it's wrong unless it's this. Our goal is to please Him. Our goal is to please Him. So here Paul is writing to believers and he's saying to us, it doesn't matter if you're here on earth or in heaven, your goal should be to please God, to live, to use the life you've been given. Even though right now we're in this body that groans and sighs and wears out too fast and needs more naps than we think it probably should, we're to use this life to please Him. And then when we go to heaven and we're swallowed up by the wholeness of life, we're to use that life to please Him. This is the goal of life. This is what God has given us life for. He goes on and says, we must all stand before Christ to be judged. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. So our goal is the same, whether here or in heaven. And that's why we want to do a series like this, so we understand that the purpose is the same. In fact, we put it this way. It's going to be up on the slide there. What you believe about eternity determines how you live today. Now, sometimes what you believe about eternity is maybe a subconscious thought, or maybe it's a thought you don't want to address, and so therefore, you're actually not living well today because you're ignoring the truth about eternity. But what we think about eternity determines how we will face the challenges of today. And it determines how we will handle the blessings of today. Will we use those challenges to draw ourselves to God? Will we use those blessings to please Him? Or will we try and ignore it? Will we try and step back from it? Will we try and live for ourselves because we don't want to think about heaven and hell? Because what we think about eternity, what we believe about it, determines how you live today. And so we're going to look at three things that happen after this life is done. And so, again, this is not a series on death. This is a series on how we live. When we're looking at heaven and hell, we're looking at it so that we can know how to live today. So let's look at three things we know happen after death. And again, I'll just say this now. Anytime you do a series on heaven and hell, there's probably more questions you have that the Bible doesn't answer clearly than the Bible does. But here's what I know. The Bible gives us enough information to know how to live with the view of eternity today. And that's what the goal is. I think sometimes if God showed us just how good it's going to be for believers, we would go out and do dumb things trying to get there faster. And I also want to say this before I get into this, to give you a definition of heaven and hell. There's lots of other details. We're going to look at some, but here's the basic premise. Heaven is eternity with God. Hell is eternity without God. And so all the analogies, lake of fire, gnashing of teeth, beasts, devil, demons, all those things you've seen, you know, you see all the comics about what it's like down there. The main primary point that should motivate us is that it is life for eternity without God. And heaven, whether the streets are gold, whether we have horse and chariots or cars or who knows what on them, heaven is eternity with God. That's the primary thing we need to know about it. So when we die, three things we know happen. Number one is this, and if you've got your worship guide, by the way, today, you can take notes and follow along, or you can use the app. But the first thing we know is this, our physical bodies die. And some of you say, it's already started, right? Again, it's somewhere around that 40-year-old mark, where suddenly you go to do a squat, and it's a little slower getting back up. Where suddenly you go to pick something up, and your back says, no, that can stay down there. Right? We know that this starts to happen. And again, if you're in your 20s, you're laughing because you're polite, but you have no idea what's coming. I remember when old people, now I'm that age, older people used to tell me this, and you think, nah, stretch? Why stretch? Just go do sports. Trust me, it's going to happen. Because after we die, our physical bodies die. It says this in Hebrews chapter 9, just as people are destined to die once. In other words, we're destined to die. In fact, all the research shows that 100 out of 100 people will die. Look at the person next to you and say, no, don't do that. Don't say that. It says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. But we're destined to die. But here's why, again, this is a series not about dying, it's about living, because we're destined to be in eternity with him. We're not destined to die as in we're destined to just go blah, nothing left. We are destined to be swallowed up by the fullness of life. So however you dream of the perfect life, whatever you dream defines fullness of life, it's waiting for us in heaven. And the beauty of walking out with God in our day-to-day is we'll know pieces of it along the way, but the fullness of it will swallow us up when we cross over from this life to the next. And for many of us, the good news is this body is going to be left behind. And we talked about that. Paul showed this. He said, the old body, the earthly body, it's not coming with us. And again, I don't know the details. I prayed for a long time that in the earthly body, I'd be 6'3". I'm hoping for a lot of height in my heavenly body, like freakishly tall, right? I don't really know what it's going to be, but what I do know is that it's an eternal body, and it won't wear out, and it won't get tired. It won't groan and sigh like these ones do. And so I want to say, and I want to be careful as I say this, that I know there's a lot of people that struggle with physical challenges or health challenges in this body. I want to give you hope to continue to face those challenges today, that there's going to be a day where you get to leave this body behind. And if you have that and you want to pray, we'll pray that that heavenly healing comes now. But if it doesn't, then the hope is, hey, this body's going to be left behind. I don't have to drag this health issue or this health struggle or this health challenge into eternity with me, because our physical bodies will be left behind. The second thing we know that happens after life is done is that our souls separate from our physical bodies. Our souls separate from our physical bodies. We live in a culture and in a world that wants to say this body is a primary way we identify ourselves. Is it beautiful? Is it athletic? Is it this or that or whatever? Does it fit these stereotypes? But this is not who you are. We aren't defined by the tent. We're defined by who God has made us to be and who he created us to be in our soul. And our soul will be eternal. Our soul will separate from our physical bodies and go up to heaven. Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus says this, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. In other words, the health challenge you face, it can't kill your soul, even if it deteriorates your body. For those of you that serve in the military, and we're so thankful for your service, we know that you put your physical life on the line regularly for the rest of us, and we're grateful, but we don't fear that as much as, he goes on, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so our soul is separate from this body. This body is going to be buried in the ground, but our soul is going to be eternal. And we don't need to worry so much about this body, making it through, facing whatever challenge it is. What we need to worry about is my soul ready for eternity? Is my soul going to go up to heaven, or is it going to go to the place where it could be destroyed? And that's hell. Because we know that our souls separate from our physical bodies. Jesus said this way once to a woman. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Well, wait, are we going to live or are we going to die? What he's saying is, yes, your physical body. And here's the thing for us as humans. This is all we know, right? All we know is what hurts, what tastes good, what doesn't taste good, what feels good. We live in a physical world. And it's a good world, and God wants us to enjoy it, but there's so much more than just this world. So what he's saying is, yes, you're going to die to this world, to this body, but whoever lives by believing in me will never die, because our soul is in eternity with God. When Jesus was killed on the cross, there was put up there with two other men on a cross. And they were both, the Bible says they were criminals. They actually deserved to be up there. We know Jesus didn't, but he was put up there with them. And one of them, he looked at Jesus and he said, if you're a God, if you're a king or whatever you say you are, then why don't you climb down off that cross and take us down too? And he was mocking him. But the other man in that moment, when he saw Jesus, he recognized the truth about who Jesus was. And I don't know if Jesus was, they were having a chit chat up there or what, but in some way the other criminal recognized him and he said, Jesus. Well, let me read it for you. It's in Luke 22, chapter 23. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In other words, he had this moment. He said, Jesus, I recognize that I'm about to die. And on the other side, there's a kingdom. One is yours. And one is not yours. Would you remember me and would you welcome me into your kingdom? But his body's dying on a cross, literally in the process of him dying, his physical body dying. He knew, though, there was a kingdom to come. And Jesus goes on, says, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The body of that man died that day, but that man's soul was in paradise with God. Philippians 1:20 says it this way. And this is, again, Paul writing a letter to believers, kind of explaining his struggle and helping us understand what I think is often a struggle that hopefully we as believers wrestle with. He says this, I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. Again, it's that same mentality that he talks about in the letter to Corinthians. Whether I'm here living on earth or whether I'm gone to heaven and dead, may it please God. May my life please God. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. He says, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. Isn't Paul a little, you're like, wait, you just literally said a sentence ago, it's better. Now you're saying, I don't know what's better. And hopefully that's the struggle we have as believers. Because this life we have right here today, this is given to us by God. He is present with us in this life. Regardless of what challenges you face, regardless of what blessings you have, God is with us here today. But Paul struggles because he says, I know there's going to be a day when that fullness of life swallows me up. So I don't know which one is better. But he understands the purpose. He says, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. And this is the struggle we have as believers. There's those days where we just go, man, heaven would feel so much better than how my kids are treating me right now. I bet Jesus doesn't talk back like that. Heaven would be so much better because I'll be free of this physical challenge. Or heaven will be so much better because the bankers can't find me there. Whatever it might be, that for us, yes, heaven would be better. But Paul's saying, but while I'm here, I'm going to live to please God. And nothing pleases God more than seeing other people come to know him. So for your sakes, Paul says, I'll choose to stay. For your sakes, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. And that's why when you came in, maybe they were on your seats. If not, they're out there. Yeah, no, they are in your seats. You got this little Easter evangelism plan card. And on the back, it's got a five-friend focus, okay? Hopefully you all have more than five friends, but we put five friends on here. And we do this a few times a year. These are the people that make it better to still be here. These are the people where you go, it's for them that I know it's better that I'm still here. It's for their sake that it's better that I'm still here. And so what we're going to ask you to do, and I'm going to give you time later, but we're going to ask you to write down their names and begin to pray for them. And just pray for them. And then remember, I am living to please God. What would please God more than these five people coming to heaven with me? What would please God more than these five people knowing that their eternal destiny is secure with him, not without him? And so on the back there, you've got the Easter evangelism plan and some ways you can help us with that, or some ways you can we can help you with that, I should say. But that's the goal of the five-friend focus. It's because we have this struggle. God, for me, it would be so much better. My knee wouldn't hurt. I'd be a faster runner. I'd be as tall as I want to be. Again, whatever issues I face, I'd be free from them. But God, for these five, for their sake, I know it's better that I'm still here. For their sake, God, I know it's better, regardless of the challenges I face, regardless of the difficulties this earth has for me, for their sake, I know it's better that I'm still here. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that at the end, but I got to get through one more point, and that is this, and this is the one that sometimes we don't like to think about, but I want to explain it in a way that gives you hope, and that is this: after we die, we will all face judgment. We will all face judgment. Now, I'm going to get a little bit theological here and tell you kind of how the Bible talks about two types of judgment. Before I do that, in 1 Peter 1:17, it says this: remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. I don't like that verse, because when I pray to God, I'm pretty sure I've got his full attention. I hope you're not praying at the same time I do, because I've got his full attention. But he doesn't have favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. I love that phrase, temporary residents. I want you to think, if you would, about the timeline of your life. But not just your life on earth, the timeline of eternity. And then think about the earth part is a very small portion of that. It's an important part, but it's a very small portion of that. This is where we are temporary residents. And again, it's all we know, so sometimes we can't imagine that. But we're temporary residents here. So as we have an eternal view, it helps us live our life today. But let me talk again now, okay, about the two judgments that we're going to face. The first one is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And this is talked about in Revelation chapter 20. This is, if you will, the qualification judgment, an entrance exam, if you will. And if you have said yes to Jesus, if you have put your faith in Jesus, if you have said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, you're passed. You get the little pass that says, I don't even have to go to that judgment. Revelation, it talks about the people that haven't said yes to Jesus. They will be brought up before the white throne, and God will open up a book. It's called the Book of Life. And if their name is not found in there, they will not be granted entrance to heaven. So if your name is found in there, you kind of have the VIP lane. Right? You get the bypass this judgment lane. In fact, a lot of theologians will say Christians don't have to face this judgment. It's not that we don't have to face it, it's that Jesus has faced it for us, so now we can bypass it. And so the Great White Throne Judgment, if we believe in Jesus, we're qualified. We have passed the entrance exam. We are granted entrance into heaven. But there is a second judgment. And this judgment, I kind of think, man, there's parts of it that are strange and parts of it that I go, man, I really like that it's there. And it's called the Judgment Seat of Christ in the Bible. The judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So for believers, we bypass the entrance exam and we go straight to the rewards table. We go straight to the rewards table. Now, here's the part I get confused about. But I'm already in heaven. What do I need? What reward is God going to give me that makes it better than being with him? I don't know, but he says he has them. And if he says he has them, I'm saying I want them. I want the rewards God has for me. Now, I think the back row of heaven, the sound is going to be just as good as the front row. I don't know if houses get bigger, if houses get extensions, but all I know is that God says there are rewards for those who do things in this life for God. And so we want to live in a way that we receive that. I think about, if you think about the Olympics, only some people get to compete in the Olympics, right? So we're in the Olympics, and the word actually for this judgment seat of Christ is Bema. I don't know how to pronounce the original language. But what it means is that it's the judge who awards the prizes. It's after the athletes compete, they come up to the judge, and the judge says, here's first place, here's second place, here's third place, whatever it is, and here's the prizes. And again, I don't know what those prizes are. There's a part of me that goes, if I get to heaven, good enough. But God says, no. If you will live this life with eternity in view, if you will do the things here that please him, then there will be rewards for us in heaven. And I don't know what the rewards are going to be, but I know that they're going to be worth it. I don't know what the rewards in heaven are going to be, but I tell you, they're better than the rewards that anybody on Facebook can give me. They're better than any reward my boss can give me. They're better than any reward a doctor's report can tell me or a banker can tell me about my finances. The rewards in heaven are better. And so I want to live today with the view of eternity so that when I get to heaven, God says, here's your rewards. And I'm pretty sure that the part of me that's going to want to turn around and show you my rewards compared to yours is going to be left here as well. We're not going to be comparing. But I believe there are rewards in heaven. So we want to live today. So again, I want to read this verse out of 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to close. Whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. And so we hold on to the view and understanding of what happens after death so that we can live today to please him. So that we can live today to know that what Jesus did at Easter is enough. Enough for me to get entrance. But I'm going to live for those rewards that God has. Amen? So do you see why this is not a series about death, but it's a series about living? It's a series about living. And so with that, with Easter coming up, there are a lot of people that don't know the message of Easter. They know Easter bunnies and they know chocolate, but they don't know Jesus, who came to earth as a man, died on a cross, went down to hell. Hell couldn't hold him because he was perfect. And he rose again 3 days later. And he said this, he promised that any who call on his name, any who believe in him, he will grant them access to heaven. And he said, not only that, but when you call on my name, I'll bring you heaven. And so we've got some tools to help you kind of let people in your world who don't know that. Again, we got the five prayer focus. Who are the people you're saying, God, these are the ones that I'm here for. These are the ones that make it better for me to still be on earth. We're going to close with a worship song here in a few minutes. As we do, I'd like to encourage you to take that time and write down the names of those people. And bring that card home, put it in your Bible, put it somewhere where you'll remember over the next few weeks to be praying for those people. We've also got car decals to make your car look pretty and to let people know where you're going to be on Easter. You can grab these out there. We've had a discussion as staff. Do you put them on the side windows or the back windows? We don't really know. There's no science. Put them where you want. Just do me a favor. Just follow the road rules when you have this on your car, okay? Don't speed around with this on your car. Be a good driver with this on your car. And of course, we've got invitation cards. That if there's people in your life you want to invite to Easter, we got some cards here. They're very simple. It just says, join us. It's just got on there the times, the dates, stuff like that. And these you can just give out. You can leave at a restaurant. You can put on your colleague's desk, whatever it might be. And then lastly, on the back of the Five Friend Focus card is an Easter evangelism plan. And this is a plan where we're going to provide you with some tools and some steps to help you invite people to Easter. And so there's a number on there that you can text Easter to, and we'll send you, this week we'll send a couple, but starting next week, we'll send you a daily reminder of how to pray or how to put stuff on social media to let people know, hey, I'm going to be at church on Easter. and to let people know, hey, you're invited to come with me. I'll have a seat for you. So we would love for you to join us in that. So pick up this card again. The steps, the directions are all there. So we're talking about inviting people to Easter, but here's the beautiful thing about Easter. What it symbolizes isn't only once a year. That Jesus' death and resurrection is available to anybody whenever someone's ready to call on it. And so maybe you're here today and you've heard this message and you're going, I want to know that I'm going to be in heaven, that my eternal destiny is life with God. Maybe you're watching online. Either way, if that's you and you say, I want to know that my eternal destiny is heaven with God, it's as easy as what we say at True North, the ABCs. A is admit that you are not in that relationship, that you have sinned, that you don't know your eternal destiny is secure in Christ. B is believe. Believe in who Jesus was, what he did on the cross and through his resurrection. And C is confess him as Lord. That just means say, Jesus, I'm with you now. I give my life to you. I follow you. I want to pass that entrance exam because of what you did. If that's you, whether you're here in person or online, would you just pray a simple prayer to start that relationship with me? I'm going to ask everyone in here, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And if that's you today, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm not in right relationship with you. But I believe that because you came, died on the cross, and were raised again, I can be. And so today I confess you as Lord and ask, God, would you accept me into heaven for eternity? In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.